Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today is September 30th, 2020. The month is coming to an end. The year is coming to an end. And a lot of us feel good that 2020 is coming to an end, to be honest with you. This is a long awaited show. I should have had this guy on my show years ago, but you know how things happen and people are moving in different directions. John Meadows is going to join us in a minute for an episode of Muscle Saves Lives. Before we do that, I have to thank my title sponsor, Legendary Foods. The website is eatlegendary.com. The code is SHR10 to get 10% off everything you order there. And if you are a low-carb, low-sugar, high-protein person, you're going to find great snacks, especially check out their tasty pastry. It's basically a Pop-Tart with less than 1 gram of sugar, 9 grams of high-quality, high-leucine protein, and only 3 to 4 impact carbohydrates. Put them in your kids' lunch boxes if they're going back to school. If you're in a state where school is open, they won't know that it's good for them. And, of course, feel free to post your questions if you're watching on YouTube Live right now for John, and we'll do our best to work them into the discussion and get them answered. And now, with further delay, welcome to the show, John Meadows. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, Carl. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, it's wonderful. And like I said, you know, I see you at the Arnold. We always say, oh, we got to do a show. We got to do a show. But you're a busy guy. You have a huge following. And I attribute your following to the fact that you are who you appear to be. You're very honest. But more importantly, you are a true warrior when it comes to training. And that's part of the discussion we're going to have today. I want to talk about what happened in May, but I really, for those in my audience that maybe aren't big, you know, my show is based on physical culture, right? And bodybuilding is a faction of physical culture. For those who don't know, really, you've had your challenges and you've been taken down by some health problems over the years, haven't you? Start with what was the first event that really kind of derailed you for a while?
I only reached 5'6", and I also wouldn't be a lot taller was problem number one.
Yeah, but that benefits you in bodybuilding, doesn't it? Because of proportions.
Yeah, but I wanted to be a pro football player, so okay. I had to change my direction there.
Okay.
Well, so in 2005, I had what turned out to be a condition called idiopathic myoentemal hyperplasia of the mesenteric vein. It was a really rare and unique issue that I had that basically caused the vein in a mesenteric vein in the sigmoid part of my colon to rupture and almost bled to death. Luckily, I was in the hospital when it happened. And there seemed to be something really odd about my blood. They did a lot of tests and everything. Anyways, long story short, they had my entire colon removed. And, you know, this was in 2005. So there's the end of my bodybuilding career, right? Time to move on, do something different. I had an ileostomy and, you know, so later they reversed that. And then I had some issues with some, and I had some more surgeries, but, hey, I kept fighting and I kept training hard and I bounced back and I actually won my pro card after all that happened. I think some people assume I won it before that happened, but I actually won it after that happened. And, you know, so that was, a real unique thing that happened to me. And, you know, I thought I was kind of in the clear. And then, as you mentioned, in May 11th, I had an issue this year that may or may not be related. And I was training, you know, all the gyms were locked down back in May, if you remember. And I was training in a little garage and I was just doing a light workout. Felt some pain in my chest. Then I was out of breath. And I knew something was wrong. And then my arm started kind of tingling. And I was like, oh, man, this is not good. Like, these are the telltale symptoms of a heart attack.
Right.
So we called the ambulance. And they took me right into the cath unit in the hospital. And he said, yeah, left anterior descending artery, the big daddy, the widowmaker, is 100% blocked from a blood clot. So they gave me, they didn't remove it. They gave me IV heparin and it melted it. And, you know, so the hope has been, okay, you know, I survived that. It was a close call. You know, hopefully there wasn't too much damage to my heart, but there's some recent things that I think probably you and the knowledge you have, you're probably going to find this pretty interesting. And I'll try to keep it short. I feel like I've been talking already for an hour.
No, don't keep it short. Talk, talk. It's your show.
Okay. So, after not, about, see, it was, I think it was 6 weeks after the initial heart attack, I went in. I felt great. I took 16 days off out of the gym. I was very tired after the heart attack. I was really tired. That's the most tired I've ever been in my life. And I got back into the gym very slowly, very easy cardio, little 15, 20-minute walks, very light weights. And over the course, you know, of another several weeks, I was training pretty good, and I was feeling excellent. So I went back in to get my checkup, and I was expecting a the cardiologist to say, John, everything looks great. You're fine. I'll see you in 6 months. And so I'm sitting there and, you know, I had an echocardiogram done, by the way. And so I'm waiting on the results. And he sits down. And he says, how are you feeling? I said, I feel great. He says, are you out of breath at all? I said, no. He's like, how's your workouts? Are you still working out? I said, yeah. I mean, I've been training really hard. He's like, are you sure? Like, how's your performance? I said, I feel as good as I did before all this happened, to be honest with you. So he just keeps prodding me. I'm like, look, man, I feel great. Like, there's nothing, nothing feels off. So he said, well, you know, your ejection fraction is 30 to 35%. And you have a blood clot in the apex of your left ventricle. So he said, when you had your heart attack, you know, the apex, for those of you who don't know where it's at, it's the bottom of your left ventricle. Right. He said it was damaged from your heart attack.
The point.
Yes. And blood's not flowing, so now you have a clot in there, and your ejection fraction is very bad. And he said, you know, now picture this. Like, I'm sitting there, and I'm feeling great. And he says, you know, at any time now, that clot could move, and you could have a stroke. You know, your ejection fraction is so bad, at any time now, you can go into arrhythmia, and you can die. And I would recommend you get a defibrillator and plant it in your chest. So I'm like, oh my God.
What was your ejection fraction?
So it was 30 to 35%.
Yeah, because I think at 35, below 35 is when they say that you really need auto defibrillator installed, right?
Yeah, 34.99 and below.
Right.
And so, you know, I went from, hey, everything feels great, to him telling me basically I can die in a second.
Right.
So I called Dr. Serrano when I get out of the office, and I'm like in a panic. And I'm like, man, he's telling me, like, I'm going to die. And Dr. Serrano, like, he knows how I'm feeling. And he's like, no, we'll get some other opinions, but read the report to me. So I got the report, and it said per visual estimation. And Dr. Serrano said, you know what? You should be getting an MRI, a cardiac MRI, or you should be getting a different scan that gives you more precise
numbers. Yeah, because visual ejection fraction could be way – it could have a lot of margin of error.
Yeah, and so I got four more opinions. One of them was Dr. Joel Kahn. Maybe you've read some of his books. He's world famous. He's up in Michigan. I got an opinion from a friend of mine that followed my YouTube. He's a cardiologist in Australia, and they all were pretty much telling me the same thing. They're all saying, you know, you need to be taking medication, which you are, for your blood clot, and, you know, your ejection fraction can still come back. And,
absolutely.
Like, you can't really, because I asked the doctor, the original doctor, I said, you sure, like, you can't improve? He said, it's been 90 days. It's not going to improve. If it was going to improve, it would have already improved.
Okay, I got to stop here, right? Because I want the audience to know something. This is, weightlifting saved my life. I had a heart problem, and I saved my life by learning to lift heavy weight. There are two types of changes to the heart. There's pathological and physiological. When doctors look at somebody who has a heart problem, they put you in the category of pathology immediately because that's all they see. They see schlubs who sit on the sofa. They don't move. They have sleep apnea. It's uncorrected. They have high blood pressure. They have all these problems. Their heart gets blown out of shape like a balloon. They end up with clots. They end up with rhythm issues. That's pathology. That means you're dying. You're pathological. It's just getting worse and worse. But those of us who lift weight, we experience something called physiological changes to the heart. They look like pathological, by the way. To the untrained physician's eye, and most of them don't look deep enough. They look at the report and they go, oh, this is pathology, right? They look at you and they probably think, oh, drugs and, you know, what else? And blah, blah. But physiological changes to the heart are upregulations. They're leveling up of the heart. When Valsalva, every time you squat, me, everybody in the audience, we squat. We start out 125, and over the course of a decade, we're squatting 500 pounds. Every time we do that, there's signals that go to the blood vessels and to the heart that go, this schmuck's going to do this again next week. We need to start increasing the strength of the plumbing. We need to make the pump stronger. And that process takes years to happen. Those are physiological changes. The wall doesn't get thicker. The sinus gets bigger because it wants to handle more blood. In a pathological heart, the sinus gets smaller because the wall gets thicker because this person isn't doing anything. So doctors, and I said this to you off the air, they don't take into account the difference between someone who lives an athletic life and somebody who lives a schlub life. And that's a huge thing. The reason that you don't feel anything is because your heart is a super pump. It's already a super pump. You know, you take a 250 horsepower engine and you detune it and you lose 10% horsepower, you're going to feel that. You take a 1,000 horsepower engine and you detune it and you lose 10% of your horsepower, you don't feel that because you got 1,000 horsepower. So now you have 9. Okay, big deal, right? So
yeah.
The physiological heart, the heart that's undergone physiological changes can overcome. That's why he can't believe, like, gee, your heart's not pumping right. You don't feel anything? No, because the part that is pumping right is doing the work for the part that's not pumping right already. So go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah. I had to just throw
No, that's interesting here because that's exactly what Dr. Serrano told me. He told me the same thing you're telling me. And one of my good friends, Scott Stevenson, he said the same thing. He said, the doctor doesn't understand, like, you have been training your butt off for literally 35 years. He doesn't understand the thousands and thousands of sets that you've done, pushing yourself, how well you can oxygenate your blood. Like, he doesn't understand any of that. And, you know, he's immediately telling me to get some device implanted into my chest. And I'm like, man, this just seems real. Right.
That's what killed my mother. They put a pacemaker in my mother. Not an auto defibrillator, but they put a pacemaker in my mother. And that surgery is what she went downhill after that. That's not a, you know, they make it sound like it's no big deal. Oh, we go in through your underarm and we put the electrode in your heart. Wait. You put a screw in my heart? Like, you're telling me that this part of my heart isn't beating. What happens to the part that you put the screw in? Of course, there's necrotic tissue. There's damage. That's damage. It's crazy what they do today, isn't it? Anyway.
Well, I mean, I was so shaken from it, I didn't even really talk to anybody for 2 or 3 weeks. I just thought, man, my life's over. You know, that's how much it scared me. You know, if it's just me, that's one thing. But, you know, I've got a family, so I'm hearing all this. And luckily, Serrano kind of walked me in off the edge. And that cardiologist in Australia, Peter, he was like, no, hold on here. This guy doesn't understand the situation here. So anyway, so I I changed cardiologists, and in fact, I see Serrano today, actually, in about an hour and a half. So now what I'm doing is I've got a cardiac MRI on Friday that'll give us a better look, that'll show what's damaged and not damaged. And, so I'm hopeful, but I'm not making it up. Like, the first cardiologist, I don't think he even believed me when I told him how good I feel. I'm like, dude, I feel totally normal.
Right.
And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong. Obviously, you saw a blood clot or something there, but, you know, there's medications that can fix that. We'll see what happens. But it was very, very – it was more scary listening to him, I think, because I keep hearing this voice in my head. I see him sitting in front of me, and he's like, well, you know, you can die at any second now. Like, I keep hearing that in my head.
You know what? I hate when they do that kind of stuff. I mean, I get it. They have to tell you the severity. But I've been through this. And I look back at it now and I think, God, those doctors were just plain out jerks. Like, you know, I could die. I could live another 30 years. I mean, how many people have ticking time bombs in their bodies and they don't die? So let me ask you some more questions. So
And then, before you ask me, let me say one more thing real quick.
Yes, please.
So you mentioned doctors, like what they blame things on. Initially, he was like, well, you know, I think you're taking testosterone. It must be all the testosterone. I said, well, doc, I've been on 200 milligrams a week for the last 3 years. He's like, well, yeah, it's the testosterone. I said, then why aren't thousands of people just dying from clots and from blood clots and heart attacks? If 200 milligrams a week, like there's tens and hundreds of thousands of guys.
Yeah, that's a legitimate HRT dose. That's not like a wink, wink HRT dose. I'm taking 500 milligrams a week. That's a legitimate HRT dose. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, 200. And he's like, well, you need to come off of that. And I said, I tell you what, it's going to be bad. I will for you for a short period of time, but I'm telling you it's going to be bad. So I went off of it, and Serrano told me, don't do it. Don't come off of it. But I did. I said, I promised him. So I came off for 4 weeks, and I felt terrible.
Of course.
And which I knew was going to happen, but I was trying to prove a point. And I went back in there. My test level was, I want to say 55, and my free test was like 4.
55 is low for women.
Yeah.
55 is low for women's testosterone, 150, you know, nanograms. Some women 200 because they have that, and a lot of them end up as athletes. But 50 is low for a woman, so that's horrible.
So I gave him 4 weeks, and I said, "I told you this was going to happen. I feel terrible." And by the way, now my blood sugars are starting a little off. It's starting to get a little off. I mean, there's other things. I said, "I told you this was going to happen." He's like, "Well." So anyways, I told Toronto, and I went back on actually 100 milligrams. And at 100 milligrams, I'm about 800 nanograms per deciliter.
Now, how long have you been on 100 milligrams?
I've probably somewhere around 7-8 weeks now.
Okay. All right. So a lot of times when people go on 100 milligrams of testosterone cypionate or enanthate is 70% testosterone and 30% ester. So you're really not taking 100 milligrams. You're taking 70 milligrams, but the problem is that both the cypionate and enanthate ester release 50% of the if you're doing intramuscular, if sub-Q is different. Yeah. If you're doing intramuscular, 50% of the dose hits you in 4 days, and then the balance over the course of 24 days. So a lot of times people who – and don't forget, as we get older, this is an interesting fact. How old are you now?
48.
Okay, so I'm 62. The older you get – the body conserves testosterone. The number of testosterone receptors in the liver diminish with age. And this makes perfect sense because most guys over evolution didn't have testosterone cypionate, so they were trying to conserve testosterone so you flush less out. So us older guys can get away with lower doses, and they can be effective. So that's good news.
I thought you would get a kick out of that. I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, no, I know. So it sounds like you may have a little bit of a blood issue. It's clotted before, it's clotting again. Have you looked into that yet?
Well, you know, we've looked at factor V laid and all these kind of venous tests. I haven't had all the arterial tests done yet. That's like the antiphospholipid test and the lupus something test. I honestly have not had all those done yet. So, you know, we'll see, but I am taking Eliquis and baby aspirin now. The baby aspirin will probably be the rest of my life, and I really don't care, like, whatever it takes to be healthy, and it's fine with me. It doesn't bother me. Like I said, I feel great. I don't have any side effects or anything. So,
I take baby aspirin. I take one baby aspirin at night. Most people have heart attacks in their sleep, so I take it at night. And it's just an anti-inflammatory. I mean, so people are down in turmeric and ginger, and they go, oh, this is anti-inflammatory. Well, so is aspirin. Aspirin, before they made it what it is today, was just tree bark. It was from a type of tree bark, white willow bark. And so, I mean, it's natural. I there's nothing wrong with that. And I think everybody would do good with taking a baby aspirin a day, because even young people, you don't realize how much inflammation we have because of our environment, our food, the stuff they spray on our food and everything. That's a good move, I think. For most people, it's a good move.
Yeah, I think so too. And I take it at night, just like you do, because I think clotting tends to be real much more robust early in the day, early in the mornings and late nights.
Do you snore?
No, never really have. Well, probably back in about 2000, 2001, I did, but that's when I used to get up to like 260. But that was a very short part of my career. I never let my weight get that high again, so I haven't really snored in probably almost 20 years.
So, for those of you listening or watching the show, snoring is not natural. Any kind of snoring is not natural. If you're snoring, the gentle obstruction of an airway is sending a signal to your body and your brain that, hey, we could lose air at any minute. And this raises adrenaline, but it also raises a protein called D-dimer. And D-dimer will thicken the blood very quickly. People who have untreated sleep apnea, they stroke, they die of heart attacks, but the underlying cause is blood clots. Because when you snore, it thickens your blood. So that's the only way. I was just kind of fishing, you know.
No, that's a good question. That's a very good question.
So now you're back to are you training as hard as you did before? Or are you still a little gun shy?
Here's the thing that here's the struggle. Here's what goes through my head. So I'll do like a hard set of legs, and I'll be a little bit out of breath. And I'll be like, oh, no, is it my heart? Yeah. Like, no, a hard set of legs does make you a little bit out of breath. Like, right. That's totally normal.
Right.
But I have this go through my head. So am I training hard? I would say I'm training hard enough to most people would think it's crazy hard, but I leave a little bit in reserve just because I have that fear in my head. Now, you know, I had a couple guys, a couple of young guys come and train with me last week, and we did back. And we did a really what I think was a very hard back workout. And – like, they're like, you know, why are we sweating so much and we're tired and you're not even breathing hard? Like, you're not even that tired. I'm like, well, this is normal for me. Like, this is a normal workout. I'm not doing anything special.
Right.
So I think my kind of normal workouts are still pretty, pretty intense.
I call it old man strong. You know, I did a little photo shoot the other day and so I did some, I haven't done any dumbbell rowing at all. And actually, I'm in the worst shape of my life. I'm actually I'm getting help from a friend of yours, Bill Toko. With my diet, and I'm going to try to recapture. I had a couple surgeries. I've had a lot of injuries, and they just derailed me for a couple years. I've lost all my lower body strength and muscle mass. In fact, my pants fall off because I have no ass anymore. So it's horrible. But I just grabbed a couple 100-pound dumbbells and I just started rowing them. And, you know, I'm not leaning on a bench. I mean, I got one hand on my knee and I'm bent over and I'm rowing them. And the photographer goes, can you hold it? Like, can you stop at the top? And I'm saying, yeah, sure. And I stop and I'm like holding it there. Like, now it's like, it's probably like 10 seconds. I'm like, can I let it down now? You know, but I've been blessed with strength and I'm hoping it's going to get me back to where I was. But I call it old man strong. You know, those of us who've trained long enough, we can elicit that strength when we need to. So, what about cardio? Do you do cardio?
I do. The only thing is I have a hard time getting my heart rate up into that 140, 150, 160. I mean, the challenge I have, Carl, is I've got to go so hard to get my heart rate up. Sometimes it just literally burns my leg. It's almost like I'm doing a high rep set of leg presses. Like if I get on a piece of cardio equipment and I go hard, really hard, my legs are on fire. Like, for instance, a treadmill. I have a hard time getting my heart rate any higher than 110 on a treadmill. And people are like, well, just crank up the incline. I'm like, yeah, but then my calves burn so bad. All I can feel is calf pain and burning. That's not the effect I'm after. So I do cardio. And then, I mean, obviously after a heart attack, they put me on a beta blocker, which you know, brings everything down too. But so I do cardio, yes.
So was it hard to get your heart rate up before this cardiac event?
Yes.
You do realize that is that is a very powerful, wonderful thing, right? That means that your body is so conditioned and so efficient at distributing oxygen and feeding the muscles that your heart rate doesn't have to. I mean, people strive for that. I have a good friend, Ron Penna, the guy who started Quest, and he works hard to get his resting heart rate down and to get all that stuff. Because for some reason, the guy is super fit, super strong, but that's been a goal of his, to get his resting heart rate down. But you have that, obviously. I'm thinking your resting heart rate is what, in the 50s?
58, 59.
Yeah, that's what I figured. If you can't get on a treadmill and get your heart rate up, you know, quickly to like a 140, 150, then you're super conditioned. That is another thing that helped you survive this event. You know, a dozen guys not as fit and strong as you would have died from that heart attack. How long did it take for you to get to the hospital?
Probably an hour.
Dude, muscle saved your life. Muscle saved your life. Your training saved your life. If you're just the average schlub, you're dead. they're whacking you with the paddles and trying to revive you on the way to the hospital. But because your heart is so used to those leg sessions that this heart attack couldn't take it down. It was like, okay, we're just going to work through this. Because that's what you do when you got that weight on your back. The Valsalva's going up. Your blood pressure's going up. Your heart is fighting to keep beating. You actually trained to live through a heart attack when you think about it. Well, you trained your heart. Yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective.
So are you going to change your training moving forward, or is your goal to, like, if you can get your ejection fraction up, and I think, like, in the 50s is supposed to be good. Right, right. So, are you? If you can get your ejection fraction, let's say you go and you have the MRI, and they say, you know, your ejection fraction is 52. Now, do you have any necrotic tissue? Did they say you have any tissue that's not functioning in the heart any longer?
That's what we find out with the MRI. That's exactly what we're looking for.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So, I don't, right now, I don't know, but that's what that MRI will tell us.
Yeah. So apparently Bill Toko is watching now. He says his sleep ring and mouth guard has really helped him not snore anymore. And, yeah, so everybody should track their sleep one way or the other. Do you track your sleep? I'm just curious.
No, you know what? I don't. But, honestly, I've never had issues with sleeping. It's been one of the things that the only issues I had, Carl, was after I saw the doctor because I was scared I was going to die at night.
Right.
Like that, I had to actually take Ambien for 30 days because I was so freaked out. My mind would sit there and go crazy at night. And now I'm back to normal now. But I've been very blessed with sleeping. I really haven't had any sleep issues over the years.
Yeah. So if you come back and they say, hey, your ejection fraction is fine. We don't see any necrotic tissue. The heart is beating. It looks good. Are you going to go back and try to continue to progress in your training, or are you happy where you are at this point in your life? Like, do you need to be stronger? Do you need to be more muscular?
That's a great question. I don't really have any strength goals. I've got some numbers that I like to see. Like, I like to see 275 on the incline for sets of eight. Like,
how much? It broke up. How much?
Like 275 for a set of eight on the incline. Yeah. Like I like to be around there. I like to be able to get on. I don't do barbell squats anymore, but I use a spider bar, which is kind of a combination of a cambered bar and a safety bar.
Mm-hmm.
I like to be able to put, you know, 350 on there and do a set of eight. You know, I like to be able to – so I have some kind of things I like to be able to do, but I don't have a logbook where I'm saying I got to get stronger. That's not where I'm at. I weigh about 212 pounds now. I'm in really good shape. I don't want to weigh a lot. I don't want to weigh 240, 250. I like to be lighter. I feel more athletic. I do a lot of stuff with my kids. So I like to train hard, but I'm not really pushing to get bigger. Like, my goal wasn't to get bigger.
So you have no desire to compete anymore, do you?
No, not really. I mean, it's, you know, when you're a competitor, you've always got that itch in you. But, I mean, realistically, when I look at what would I actually get out of doing a contest, I mean, like, I've done over 70 shows. I did 9 pro shows in 2 years. Like, you know, what else is there to do? You know, I'm not good enough to win Mr. Olympia. So just to be in a show, to do a show, like, I got plenty of other fun things I'm doing with my life now.
Yeah. I agree. Look, I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have more. If you have any questions and you're watching live on YouTube, please post them. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carb, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon.
Mind Bullet is a kratom product derived from the coffee family to boost energy and creative juices. Mind Bullet comes in both pill and liquid form for the ultimate pre-workout supplement. When needing a little pick-me-up or to get through the morning fog, Mind Bullet will set your productive course fast. Go to shrnetwork.biz/mindbullet, all one word, today, and save 20%. No subscription required. That's shrnetwork.biz mindbullet. Get yours today. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Are you still on the fence about Body Protection Complex BPC Oral from DrSeeds.com? Listen to Maggie Kuhn, one of the owners of the C-Bus Lifting Company gym in Columbus, Ohio.
I had been having some nagging tendon issues that weren't injuries, just things that were annoying. You know, I'm 58 years old, so it's just older tendon kind of issues. For us powerlifters, you know, we really don't stop training when we have just nagging issues. We just kind of keep pushing through. And I started the BPC. What I noticed was I was doing some heavy tricep stuff that would have killed me before when I had an elbow problem, and I was able to do those with literally no pain at all.
Go to DrSeeds.com, DrSeeds.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your bottle of BPC Body Protection Complex today. You've heard me talk about the chill pill on the show and how effective it is at helping people who suffer from social anxiety or sometimes when you just want to take the edge off to a long, stressful day. Well, listen to this story from Dylan Goutreau.
Definitely takes anxiety away, which I have a long history of having. Started out at 2 milligrams a day of Xanax. That was at 8 years old. And so I stopped using benzos 3 years ago. Extremely difficult. Yeah, so I spent about 3 years trying to find anything and everything I could that would be healthy for me to help with anxiety. Because I'm talking, you know, full out panic attack. The chill pill was the first thing that I've found that actually in the middle of a panic attack I can take, and it definitely subsides.
Go to DrSeeds.com. That's DrSeeds.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your first bottle of the chill pill. Check it out. I promise this is one supplement that delivers.
Want to improve mental energy and focus? Try the new Superhuman Stack from Pure Nootropics. Stack Dynamin, Salbutamin, Theocrin, and Palmitoyl Ethanolamide together and feel the lights go on in your brain. Find your perfect mix of these four. Carl likes one cap of each and two caps of Dynamin. Bam! Lights on. Go to shrnetwork.biz/superhumanstack, all one word, today, and get yours for 25% off plus free shipping. That's shrnetwork.biz/superhumanstack.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
We have a real superhero on the show today, John Meadows. John, just curious, off the top, how did the mountain dog thing come up? Where did you get mountain
dog? Well, so I'm a big fan of Bernese mountain dogs. I've had, but this, right, I don't have one right now. This is the first time in years I haven't had a Bernese mountain dog, but I used to be on the forums back in, you know, 2006, 2007, around then. And my forum name was Mountain Dog One, which was just because I love Bernese mountain dogs. And so I was talking about my thoughts on X and Y, and people started just calling out the mountain dog, nutrition or mountain dog training. And it just kind of kept on. It just kind of grew its own life. And I was just like, okay, I'll just roll with it. I love mountain dogs. So, hey, I'll just roll with it.
Were you on Mind and Muscle back then? On the Mind and Muscle?
Mostly Professional Muscle. Yeah. ProfessionalMuscle.com was mostly where I was at.
So, as a former person who was told at 39 years old he would need a pacemaker because I had a dysrhythmia, my left side and right side of the heart were beating out of sync, and they said that I would die from it because eventually, my ejection fraction was very low. I was prone to blood clots, all that sort of stuff. And I just couldn't believe that. I was so depressed. I'm sure you've gone through this. There's moments of, like, just my life is over. Like, my life that I love, the way I love to live, like, I just have to not do that anymore.
Yeah,
and I read a book by Deepak Chopra called Ageless Beauty, Timeless Mind. And the only thing I can tell you that I got from that book was every cell in the body is replaced with a new cell from 6 months. I'm sorry, from 6 weeks to 6 months. Bone tissue turns over the slowest, but heart tissue turns over relatively quickly. Old cells die, new cells are put in their place. And I thought, okay, so I built this heart with 6 cells. How do I get those cells, when they die, to be replaced with good cells? Well, the first thing I learned about was physical culture and weightlifting, because that has the most profound physiological effects on building a strong heart. But I read a book that was sent to me by Adele Musa in Germany, and it was a book from Merck, and it was a symposium. I'm gonna get the PDF, and I'm going to send it to you.
Okay.
The book is like this thick, and it was all the lectures at the symposium transcribed. And one of the lectures was about neonatal gene sets, turning them on so that the heart could be repaired. And one of the studies, they took an aortic clamp on rodents, and that's how they create back pressure to create changes in the heart, like cardiomyopathy mm-hmm. and so on. Mm-hmm. And then they took one group and they applied the aortic clamp and they injected them with saline. The other group, they applied the aortic clamp and they injected them with IGF-1. And IGF-1 has the ability to turn on neonatal gene sets in the heart and actually withstand the damaging effects of those hemodynamic changes. Mm-hmm. And then they showed others that they showed when they show how so the tissue, necrotic tissue, changes the way the cells are lined up, and it becomes like almost like striated muscle instead of smooth. And applying IGF-1 actually can reverse that. So would you ever consider talking to your doctor or Dr. Serrano? I've heard his name a lot over the years. Dr. Eric Serrano, right?
Right? Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, you need to – I'm going to send you this PDF of this book. It's a big book. I'll find it this week and I'll send it to you. But maybe talk to him. What about using a therapeutic doses of growth hormone?
Well, he actually wants me to do therapeutic doses of growth hormone. That's exactly what I do.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
Because that has a profound effect on healing and fixing the heart. In fact, there was a study I read probably 15 years ago that showed that a single shot of GHRP6, which is a ghrelin, but it still gently raises growth hormone,
mm-hmm.
Within 6 hours of an ischemic event, protected the person from actually developing the changes in the heart from the heart attack. And the other thing that does that is thymosin beta 4.
Right.
I actually think I sent you some information, messaged you. So would you be open to experimenting with some of those things?
Well, I think I'm ahead of you here because I did. I used the thymosin beta and I used the BBC 157.
Good.
And I actually got it from the clinic you recommended.
Good.
So I did do that.
Excellent.
And
Excellent.
I did do that. And I asked Dr. Serrano about the GH, and he said, I want you on a very small dose, but a small dose will be very beneficial for your heart.
Yes.
So I do two IUs 5 days a week.
That's me. That's the A4M method. That's the anti-aging method. Two IUs, and that works perfectly because the vials are 10 IUs. So the other thing is, I've been talking about this a lot lately. I'm 9 days caffeine free. And that's a big deal for me because I've abused caffeine for decades now. And so I've had to come up with different alternatives for pre-workouts. Dr. Steven Sinatra wrote the Sinatra protocol.
I'm very familiar with that.
So acetyl L-carnitine, D-ribose, magnesium, and CoQ10. But I found if you add niacin to it, like slow-release niacin, It's an amazing – I mean, I get into the gym now without caffeine, and I train harder than I did with caffeine. Are you using any of those as well?
So I used the Ubiquin. I use the CoQ10. I actually use more than they told me to use. I actually use 600 milligrams a day.
I do too. I can't believe it. That's funny. Yeah, I do too.
I use 3 grams of L-carnitine, and I use 10 grams of ribose before I train and 10 grams before I do cardio. The magnesium I had to back off on because it's giving me diarrhea so bad.
Yeah.
And the other thing, the niacin I take at night, and what I do is I take my baby aspirin, and then about an hour later I take my niacin and I eat a green apple, and I have no flushing from it at all when I do that.
Now, are you taking normal nicotinic acid, or are you taking the time release one, you know, the 500 milligram that slow releases?
I take the slow release one.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, that's what I do too. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so you're really on top of this. I mean, you've done your research.
Man, I'm on top of everything. Like, what's funny is I'd never heard of the Sinatra guy, and then I was talking with Joel Kahn, who's the very well-known cardiologist up in Michigan, and I told him my supplement regimen. He was like, did you get that from Sinatra? I was like, no, I got it from Serrano. Serrano sent me a really good paper on supplements that can actually help, and those were the things that were in the paper.
Right.
And there were some other things in there, too. I think there might have been some hawthorn berry in there, too, some other things. But those were the main ones. Like, the main one was the CoQ10, carnitine. Now, I take a pretty good dose of carnitine because I've never found it to be that bioavailable. In fact, I considered getting some injectable carnitine. I actually used that for fat loss when I was competing. So that's what I've been doing, actually. So,
what about your diet? Do you eat grains? Like, I see pictures of you sometimes with the kids, and you got the big, giant, you know, horse wheel pancake in front of you. Do you eat a lot of grains?
My diet is really, really clean. When I have fun food like that, that just tends to be what I post pictures of, so everybody assumes that's all I eat. you know, I basically, like, I tell you, like I've got an omelet, an egg white omelet with some turkey, and I had a pancake with it a couple days ago. That was actually the first pancake I'd had in probably 3 weeks.
Yeah, okay.
But my diet's, I eat a lot of fish. I had sardines last night. I love cod. I do eat chicken breast. I have red meat once a week. I eat a lot of oatmeal. I eat a lot of fruit. I eat a lot of blueberries. I'm a big fan of blueberries. My diet, I think, is, you would consider pretty clean.
Have you had your inflammatory markers tested?
Oh, sure. I'm always looking at hsCRP. I'm always looking at homocysteine. I even look at myeloperoxidase.
Right.
All those things are always in range.
Right. And do you take creatine?
I take creatine. It's in my pre-workout supplement. Yes.
Is that?
I don't really take the pre-workout supplement a lot. I take it usually on leg day or a chest day, but I don't take it daily. I just like to feel that every once in a while because it feels really good. Like, I feel amazing when
right,
I take it.
Right.
I don't want to get kind of like addicted to that.
Because when you chase it and you feel amazing every day, all of a sudden you don't feel amazing from it anymore. You feel kind of worn out after a while. That's what happened to me.
Yeah. So, but I do take a little bit of creatine with my supplement.
Now, you have your own supplement line. It's a good chance to talk about it. It's called Granite, right?
Yes, sir. Granite supplements.
And why that name Granite? Because of the how hard granite is?
You know, I was just trying to think of, there's so many kind of clowns in the supplement industry. And I wanted to be the guy who you could count on as somebody who's reliable. And I think based over my actions in the industry the last 20 years, people would say I'm a pretty reliable, honest guy.
Yeah.
So I just like the word granite because it implies, you know, a great foundation, something solid, something that's there. It's not, you know, what's the old Bible story about where you build your house, on the sand or on the rock?
Right.
So that was what I was trying to convey with that name.
Yeah. And now, how many products do you have under that branding?
How many SKUs do we have? We have a couple of different pre-workouts. We have an intra-workout. We have an extra carb, a fat burner, a joint product. We have a non-stem pre-workout that actually comes out either on Friday or Monday.
Oh, wow.
We've probably got about eight or nine SKUs, something like that, and multiple flavors for each SKU.
And people can find it where? Granite.com?
GraniteSupplements.com.
GraniteSupplements.com. Very, very cool. Check it out. So with the addition of some of these special added things, you know, like growth hormone for the heart, which is very, very good for the heart, and the supplements that you're using, have you been back to that original cardiologist that scared the crap out of you about, you know, hey, you could die any second?
No, I have not.
Yeah. It's funny. Doctors never know they got fired, right? You just don't come anymore. But if more people took the effort to say, hey, I just want to let you know, like, because you're probably going to deal with somebody else someday, you were wrong. Like, you told me a lot of stuff. I had this exact thing happen because So a doctor wanted to put me on a blood thinner, and I really didn't need a blood thinner, but he wanted to put me on a blood thinner. And I let him know, like, I'm not coming back to you anymore because I think you're wrong. And that's my choice. It's my I'm going to make the decisions that kill me, not you. If I'm going to if I'm going to die, it's going to be because of some decision I made, not the decision you made. So would you ever call the doctor and say, you know, you really didn't do me a service at all?
Well, I'm not like angry. I'm not mad. I mean, I think he probably just has a way he treats people, and it's across the board. Everybody gets the same advice, no matter what their background is. But if I get a cardiac MRI and it says my ejection fraction is back, or if I get evidence in the future that's back, I will get him a message, and it won't be anything mean or vindictive. Yeah. It'll just be, you know, hey doc, you know, you said after 90 days it's impossible for me to recover, and I am recovering, I have recovered, and here's the evidence. If you want a conversation on how I did this, I'd love to talk to you. I was planning on doing that already, and if it doesn't work and I die, well, then I'm not around. He was right. So, but I was planning on that for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, he may alter what he does, and it may save somebody else's life.
It could be a learning moment for him.
Right. It could be. And I kind of, when I was in the hospital, you know, I was in a lot of pain. When he started going down the testosterone path, I kind of started thinking, okay, this is guy who's going to treat me the same as everybody else, and he's got his way of doing things. And I kind of got that feeling. But then, you know, like I said at the beginning of the show, when he just blanketly said, you need to get a defibrillator, that's when I was like, whoa, hold on here. Like, you know, and I'm, you know, I educate myself. One of the things, Carl, I think it's important for people to understand is you got to take your health in your own hands. Like if I would have just said, or you would have just said, I'll just take what he says at face value. Okay, go ahead and put the defibrillator in. I mean, then that's where I would be. And maybe it was the right decision, maybe it wasn't. But I would always tell people, man, get second opinions, get third opinions. You got to invest a little bit of time. You got to get educated on some of this stuff. I mean, it's worth it. It's your life, right?
Yes.
So one thing I like to tell people is the biggest experience that I've learned from this that I hope other people that hear my story can learn, it's don't just take what they're saying at face value. Educate yourself a little bit, talk to some other doctors, get some varying opinions, and then come to a decision rather than just taking one person's word that, you know, automatically is golden. So I'm glad I thought out additional opinions, or else I'd, who knows, you know.
Yeah, you may have had the defib put in. You may have thought, well, I got to do this. I got a wife and I got kids and I can't be selfish. I got to do this.
That's right.
And those defibs go off by accident sometimes.
And you're, yeah, so I had a friend that told me that it shocked the heck out of me.
Yeah, you're sitting at the table with everybody. And all of a sudden, you're like, and they're like, what's going on? Wait a minute. My defib went off by accident. It's like, really? Yeah. What if you're driving a car? You're like in the middle of a turn getting on a freeway and it goes off by accident. Forget about it. I want to take our last commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about atherosclerotic plaque. I want to find out if you found any, and we'll talk about that. We're talking with John Meadows. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I love beef. And if you love beef, listen up. I've discovered the best tasting beef in the world, and that's not an exaggeration, at Piedmontese.com. The Piedmontese breed is famous from Italy for being lean and unbelievably tender, with half the fat and calories of traditional beef. Even typically tough cuts are tender when it comes from the Piedmontese cows. And for the first time ever, Piedmontese cows are being raised here in the USA. Get 25% off all beef and free shipping on orders of $100 or more at Piedmontese.com with code SHR. Go to Piedmontese.com and use code SHR today. You will never eat any other type of beef ever again.
Hey, this is Carl Lenore, founder and host of Superhuman Radio. We are the longest running health, fitness, and longevity podcast in the world, with our first episode airing in November of 2005, before the word podcast even existed. We have an ever-growing audience of listeners that invest in their health and fitness. They're incredibly knowledgeable and passionate, and they know, like, and trust the show. I like to recommend products and services to them that fulfill their needs. So if your target audience is people looking to live happier and healthier lives, then the Superhuman Nation wants to hear from you. I'm Carl Lenore, founder and host of Superhuman Radio. Thanks for stopping by.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number one.com. Or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
Everybody wants to feel better, be healthier, and happier. If you don't sweat profusely on a regular basis, you won't feel as good as you could. Studies have shown the power of infrared sauna. Infrared penetrates 1 to 2 inches into the body. It helps those with back pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, depression, and anxiety. Patients get relief from infrared sauna. The Good Health Sauna has been shown to be an exercise mimetic, conveying many of the same benefits as cardio. There are a lot of reasons people buy a Good Health Sauna, but the bottom line is you will be a much happier, healthier person by using the Good Health Sauna every day. You'll crave it. You'll love it, and it will be the best purchase you have ever made. Good Health Saunas provide commercial-grade saunas for in-home and commercial use, backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. Unmatched customer service and the best financing makes owning one easy and will fit any budget. Go to goodhealthsauna.com/superhumanradio to learn more and save 25% off. Chronic stress leaves us tired, distracted, and physically vulnerable. Apollo Neuro is here to help you take control. Apollo Neuro is a new wearable that trains your nervous system to be more resilient to stress. Apollo's gentle vibration use your sense of touch to help you recover from stress, going from fight or flight to rest and digest, so you can relax, get to sleep, focus, and stay healthy. Developed by physicians and neuroscientists, Apollo Neuro has been tested in multiple clinical trials and is proven to improve heart rate variability, the key biometric of stress. Special offer for friends of Superhuman Radio. Try Apollo Neuro today and get 15% off your purchase at apolloneuro.com/superhuman. That's apolloneuro.com/superhuman.
Quest Nutrition makes bars, cookies, chips, and pizzas out of complete dairy-based proteins. Our products minimize net carbs and sugar without sacrificing taste. Each delicious chocolate-flavored chip, cookie chunk, and crunchy crumble is custom-made to maintain Quest macros. It's time to enjoy foods that work for you, not against you. It's time to enjoy your Quest.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. So, if you'd like a sauna of your own, just go to the URL shrnetwork.biz/freesauna and enter today to win a $5,700 three-person infrared sauna from Good Health Saunas. Once we get 300 entries, we're drawing. So this is going to be, your chances are good. Again, shrnetwork.biz/freesauna to enter to win a $5,700 three-person infrared sauna. Check it out. The folks over at Cerebral Entertainment are watching the show today, and they said that they're really looking forward to today's show. And then I just got a text from Kirkland Warletti, who said, tell John that his video he did after his heart attack on supplements is why I got back using Ribose pre-workout. So there you go. So if I would have read that, I would have known you were already on it. So let's talk about atherosclerotic plaque. Did they find any plaque in you, John?
So I've had I had a calcium score test done a couple years ago, and if you're familiar with that, there's four scores that you get based on the arteries that they look at, and mine was a 0, 0, 0 and an 18. My 18 was in the wasn't any of the left ones. It was in the other ones. Superior. It was one of the right ones. An 18 is minimal. So my total Agatston score was an 18, which you're not going to find any cardiologist to worry about an 18.
Right.
Once you get 100, 200, then, you know, you got some issues. I also had transesophageal electrocardiogram done, where they literally stick a camera down your throat into your heart and look at it. And they said they found little teeny tiny amounts consistent with somebody my age, but they had zero concerns. I don't have coronary artery disease. And so just not a factor.
So you do these types of tests often, it sounds like, huh?
Oh, yeah.
So you're the atypical bodybuilder. Because most bodybuilders barely get blood work done. So, I mean, you know.
I think I understand. I mean, when I was younger, I remember thinking, I'm not getting blood work done because I'm scared of what the result's going to be. Like, you just, like, I don't want to see it. Luckily, I started working with Serrano in 1999. He kind of made me do all that stuff. So I got a truckload of blood work. But, you know, for me, like, my I wasn't raised by my biological family, but my mom and dad. My dad, I don't know who he is, but I heard he died of a heart attack, like, in his early 40s. I heard my biological mom, I know she had a heart attack in her late 30s. So I've always thought, you know, I don't have genetics working for me, probably, so I need to be very careful about what I'm doing. And also, it's just the right thing to do. You know, it doesn't mean it's going to prevent anything from happening. If it's your time, it's your time. If something's going to happen, it's going to happen. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't care either and be stupid. So I've tried to be and I've tried to, not just for myself, I've tried to really help others to just kind of keep their eye on things and monitor things. I mean, I've had scans done. My liver has been clear. My kidneys, like, everything has been, you know, tip top. No issues at all.
Right.
So I put a lot of effort into trying to stay in one piece.
So do you get out in the sun a lot? You're fair-skinned. I'm thinking you don't.
Yeah. I mean, I have this year because I coach football, and it's been hot outside. Yeah. I probably should get out more than I do.
So,
and Dr. Strong has always beating me up on vitamin D. Like, that's a key thing for him.
Yeah, but see, I was going to say, so vitamin D is important. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I wrote an article in March about the sun and vitamin D and COVID. And, like, before anybody was talking about it, I wrote this article, and now everybody gets it. But anyway. But there's a hormone made in the skin that may be more important than vitamin D in conveying protective effects for the heart. So the hormone is called melanocortin-stimulating hormone, MSH, and it produces melanocortin hormones, which make you tan, right? Melanotan-2 is a synthetic form of melanocortin-stimulating hormone. In fact, it's 1,000 times stronger than the stuff that your body produces. So you don't need a lot. But there was a study done 7 years ago that I wrote about in my blog that showed that the transgenic rodents that were designed to develop arterial plaque, when they were given melanotan-2, the body reabsorbed the plaque. Now, the reason for that is melanotan-2 and its natural counterpart, melanocortin-stimulating hormone, are possibly one of the most powerful anti-inflammatory agents in the world. Every cell has 4 of these receptors, melanocortin-stimulating hormone receptors. They completely suppress inflammation. So what I tell people, and I've had people literally tell me that they decided to move to sunny climates when I first talked about this years ago, and the doctor said that their plaque is gone. So we're told not to worship the sun by the dermatologist they have skin cancer completely wrong. Skin cancer comes from your diet. It doesn't come from the sun. The sun is an unwitting and unwilling participant in the development of skin cancer. Mm-hmm. So this idea that, you know, for millions of years in evolution, we're out in the sun, now all of a sudden, sun is bad, just like red meat is bad. But the reality is that people who do have issues with plaque, and here's an easy way to know if you have issues with plaque. Easy way, okay? If you develop calculus in the back of your teeth, your lower teeth, right where your tongue sits all the time, then you have plaque inside your body too, because saliva is a natural filtrate of blood. And if you're developing plaque on the back of your teeth, you're developing it in other areas of your body too. I guarantee that's true. I guarantee it's a fact. But with that being said, getting out in the sun once in a while, maybe once or twice a week for a half hour here and a half hour there, can actually help you reabsorb plaques. And if you can't get out in the sun, if you're fair-skinned, then you don't want to get out in the sun because you get weird colored moles and stuff like that, then a little tiny dose, 15 micrograms to 25 micrograms of melanotan 2, three or four times a week, and give it about a year, and you'll go back to the doctor, and they'll scan. They'll go, man, I can't believe that plaque is almost gone. I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, food for thought, that's all.
Yeah, that's interesting. I love to get out in the sun. It's just here in Ohio, it's not year-round, obviously.
Yeah. Do you hunt?
I've never been a big hunter.
Okay, because you know? Ohio's good for deer. I actually almost bought a hunting lease up there this year, but I passed on it at the last minute.
Okay.
So what do you want the fans to know about you, John, before we end this portion of the show?
I mean, basically, I'm just one of you guys. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I put my pants on just like you do. I have kids. I'm a dad. I own businesses. I work my butt off. I worked in the corporate world. If you know my background, I worked in the corporate world for many, many, many years. And, you know, I was always told growing up in bodybuilding, well, you can't work a real job in bodybuilding. Well, I'm like, well, then how am I doing it? Because I'm doing it. But, I mean, I don't consider myself a very intelligent guy. I just do a lot of research, and I've been around a long time, and I talk to a lot of smart people. I surround myself with smart people, and that's pretty much it. But I think more than anything, there's my wife.
Hi, Mary. It's Mary, right?
Yes.
Hi, Mary. Mary.
But you know, I think for me, like, I was on a show the other day, and the guy asked me the same question. He said, "What would you really want to get across to people?" And I said, really, it has nothing to do with nutrition, has nothing to do with bodybuilding or weightlifting. I just wish people would love each other more. I just wish people would treat each other better. I wish people were more kind to each other. I wish people weren't so quick to just, just try to tear people down. If I had a message, it'd be that. It'd just be, I just wish people would love each other more and support each other more and make the world a better place. I know that sounds corny, but that's what I believe.
Yeah. No, you're right. You know, being insulting and sarcastic has almost become sport in our culture today. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the people who get the most hits or the views. They're always doing something rude to somebody. And it's, you know, reminds me of, you know, my father taught me when I was a kid, he says, never make a joke at someone else's expense. Yeah. And as a result of that, I became very self-effacing. I ended up making jokes at my own expense. Because I felt like, well, I could do that. It's me. But it's true. And today we have too many people that are too willing to trash other people to become popular. Everyone that I know, when I told them that you were coming on the show, they all said the first thing out of their mouth, oh, he's a great guy. So that's a good legacy. That really is.
That is good. That's good. And it's important for my kids, too. Like, I want to hear, when I'm not here anymore, I want people to say, man, your dad was a good guy. I want them to hear good things about me, too. I mean, hopefully I'll be around when I can show them the way, but that legacy is important to me.
Yeah, John, thank you so much for being on the show today. We waited too long to do this. Thank you.
Well, hey, just let me know when you want me to come on again. I'm glad to. This has been a great discussion for me too, so I've really enjoyed it.
Oh, let's see. Steven Rogers just posted a great topic. Unfortunately, a lot of us lifters get misdiagnosed due to inexperienced physicians. It's true. I remember how to go to the ER for something, and when they handed me my paper back, the doctor just assumed that I was on anabolic steroids. Like, she just added that to that, and I thought, that's in my record for the rest of my life now, because we didn't even talk about that. I was there for something I fell off a bike, and I had a deep vein thrombosis because of I was mountain biking, and I hit a hard rock. And there was, I'll never forget it. She says probably from a veterinarian. Like, where did that even come from? Anyway, John, thanks for being here, brother. Take care, stay safe, and stay healthy. Everybody loves you, man.
All right. Thank you, Carl. Thank you very much. Take care.
Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I'm going to give you the update on my struggle with the drug caffeine. It's really interesting what I'm going to talk about when we come back. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
We'll be right back.
Want to improve mental energy and focus? Try the new Superhuman Stack from Pure Nootropics. Stack Dynamin, Salbutamin, Theocrin, and Palmitoyl Ethanolamide together and feel the lights go on in your brain. Find your perfect mix of these four. Carl likes one cap of each and two caps of Dynamin. Bam! Lights on. Go to shrnetwork.biz/superhumanstack, all one word, today, and get yours for 25% off plus free shipping. That's shrnetwork.biz/superhumanstack.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000, or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number 1.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today. Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carb, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon.
My friends over at Bioptimizers, makers of industry-leading digestive supplements, have created a special recipe for you that helps boost brain performance in the morning. They make products Primergen V and Primergen M, potent liquid vitamins and mineral formulas loaded with absorbable vitamin Bs and trace minerals in a fulvic and humic acid base. You stack that with 3 capsules of Capex, their enzyme and energy supplement, and the effect is even stronger. You'll be buzzing without jitters or any negative side effects for hours. Bioptimizers calls this the Brain Boost Stack, and they're running a special promotion for you at shrnetwork.biz/brainstack. That's shrnetwork.biz/brainstack. You can get an additional 10% off from the normal package price with the coupon code SHR10. It's a powerful way to get your brain going and optimize your daily focus, memory, and performance.
Give yourself a reason to get back in the gym with Planet Earth Pre-Workout CBD. With a delicious blue ice flavor, this pre-workout can power you up to achieve your goals. After a strenuous workout, reward yourself with Planet Earth's post-workout powder. This highly advanced formula consists of premium-grade ingredients to support growth, recovery, and your overall performance. Power up, cool down, and gain muscle with Planet Earth CBD. Go to shrnetwork.biz/power and save 20%. Use code POWER. Don't wait. Order now. When craving a snack, reach for Select Savory Snack Sugar-Free Biltong, the healthy alternative to sugar-laden beef jerky. They use a fattier cut of beef, making it more tender and flavorful. For mealtime, choose from their 63 seasonings, which are sugar and additive free. From chipotle rub to savory pumpkin spice, you'll find an option to suit your palate. Go to shrnetwork.biz/SSS today. Use code SHR15 to save 15% on any meat snack or seasoning. Savor the flavor today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back. So those of you who have been following the saga of Carl and caffeine, which has been going on, well, shortly after the show started, I've kicked caffeine and it came back. It's like I'm a heroin addict. I give it up for a while and then I think, oh, you know, I didn't sleep good last night. Oh, I'll just have a Bang energy drink, or I'll have a cup of coffee. And then the next thing you know, a week later, I'm having a Bang energy drink and a cup of coffee, and then I'm having a cup of coffee and 2 Bang energy drinks a day, and then I'm having 3 Bang energy drinks a day, or I'm taking caffeine and Hydrus tablets. It's been hard for me to kick caffeine. It's really been in my life for a long time. And I realize now that it's actually damaged me. It really has, because there's times where I probably shouldn't have trained that I did anyway. I took my body hostage and made it do the work that I shouldn't have done. So today is officially 9 days. I thought it was 13, but it's 9. Today is officially 9 days caffeine-free. And I can tell you that about 4 days ago, so when I first stopped the caffeine, I felt horrible. It was like 2 or 3 days. I just couldn't move. I felt so weak, like I couldn't activate the muscles. This past weekend, I trained 4 days. I trained legs, back, chest, chest and shoulders, and then legs again. And then I took off today because I didn't sleep good last night. I'm in bed at 9 o'clock. I am such a boring person. I don't have any social life. I just love being with Lisa. I'm very, very happy with that. But I'm in bed at 9 o'clock every night as a rule. I like to read a little bit and then doze off to sleep. However, last night I stayed up to watch the debates, and I wish I didn't, to tell you the truth. I wish I didn't because it's just theatrics. You know, everybody's made their decision on who they're going to vote for. Nobody made any changed any minds after watching that. Be honest. This country is so divided that there's nobody scurrying across the line back to this party or to that party. And I really should have just gone to bed at 9 o'clock. But I stayed up, and then by the time I got in bed, and by the time I did my red light therapy, and by the time I read a couple articles, hey, Peter Rouse is here. Hey, Peter. Good to see you. By the time I did all the things I do before bed, drink my potion, you know, I have a magnesium, glutamine, deglycerized licorice drink that I make. I take my shots. I take 66 IUs of oxytocin. It's a whopper, by the way. Gives you a head rush. I take 220 milligrams, micrograms of both GHRP6 and CHC1295. And I take half a milligram of mechano growth factor to go to bed. And by the time I do all that stuff, it's midnight. And I finally got to sleep at midnight. Take care, Brian. I finally get to sleep at midnight, and, you know, I'm not one of those people that because I went to sleep late, I can sleep in. I used to be able to do that when I was young, but no matter what I do, I wake up 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. And so I didn't have any sleep, really, any quality sleep. And I told Elisa, I says, man, you know, this is where I go wrong. This is where I go, I need caffeine to get through the interview. I need caffeine to, and I didn't do it. If I was gonna cave, today was the day. It really was. And I didn't do it. And I really feel strongly that today is the turning point for me. I am not going to need caffeine anymore. My training sessions have been so great. In fact, I've come to the conclusion that caffeine didn't help me anymore. And the reason for that is I feel like caffeine hype me up too much adrenaline, you know, and you're almost like frenetic. And now I'm like so much stronger all of a sudden than I have been in a while. And I just recently switched to body part training. I have a leg day. I have a pull day and a push day. And as I get stronger and stronger in those, then I'll probably segment it a little bit more. But I mean, I just trashed my legs. I just trashed my back. I haven't been able to feel that way where the muscles really, that productive feeling where your muscles feel like you really did something good to them in a long, long time. And now I'm starting to think it was because of caffeine. So if you have gut problems, if you're bloated all the time, I'm not bloated anymore at all. I don't belch in the morning when I wake up. I don't feel bloated after I eat meals. I mean, stuff that used to bloat me doesn't bloat me. It's because I've gotten caffeine out. I'm telling you. And I've heard this is the most common thing. Since I started talking about getting caffeine, I've gotten messages from people. And the one thing everybody says is, oh, I used to have horrible pains in my stomach. They're gone. I used to have horrible bloating and it's gone. Everybody complains about bloating. Are you drinking coffee? Are you taking caffeine? Are you using caffeine drinks? Because your stomach problems may be related to that. Caffeine affects the vagus nerve. It affects digestive motility. It makes sense that it's going to make you feel bloated. Makes sense. It opens up the esophageal sphincter and allows GERD to occur. But I really do feel like this is it for me. I'm not going to need caffeine anymore, because if I was going to use it, it would have been today, because I woke up this morning and I felt like somebody hit me in the head with a friggin' sledgehammer. I said to Elisa, I don't know how I'm going to get through today. And not only did I get through today, but I actually feel more calm. Someone said to me in a post on YouTube that they can always tell when I'm using caffeine and when I'm not, because when I use caffeine, I interrupt the guests too much. Love, he still loves the show, he said, but he can tell. And I am definitely so much more mellow right now that I've stopped using caffeine. I'm telling you, give it a try. If you're somebody who's dependent on caffeine for a long time, you got to have your coffee. If you're somebody who says, oh, I got to have my coffee in the morning and get started, that's a sign. So I'm not using anything right now, not nootropics, nothing, because I just want to get my body back to baseline, to where it would be without any type of chemical influence at all. I was going to start microdosing. I'm even going to put that off probably for about a month, and then I'm going to start microdosing again. But I really think caffeine is a big problem in our population today, and I think that a lot of people don't understand it. Because they haven't been without it long enough to feel the differences. I wonder what they gave Joe to keep him awake during the debate. I have a theory on that. It's funny you should say this. I think they put Joe on the ketogenic diet. I think maybe they got him some ketone esters. He definitely looks leaner. And we know that ketones take people with dementia right out of it, put them, make them more cognizant and cognitive. So my bet is it's not drugs. I'm betting that they put them on the ketogenic diet and they give them ketone esters. That's mine. He says, just woke up drinking my coffee. Well, it works for you. Some people don't, they're not affected by it. But it definitely doesn't work for me anymore, and I feel a lot better without it. But anyway, so I will keep you posted. I will not fall off the wagon this time. I will not use caffeine again. And if I was going to, it would have been today. I was walking through the grocery store picking some things up to bring here to eat. And I walked right past the Bang energy drink. And I looked at it and I said, mm-mm, not doing it. And I just kept on going. That's willpower. Because I'm an addict when it comes to caffeine. All right, we have good shows the rest of the week. I hope you can tune in live. Please share the shows. Help other people learn the things that you already know, and that we will see you tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Remember, muscle is metabolic currency, so get into the gym and make a deposit today. See you tomorrow.